Well, good morning. Good to see everyone today. Today my message is titled, Renewing the Mind. God shapes us through Scripture. And we began a series of lessons several weeks ago now that's titled, Destined for Glory. It's a little book I'm working on. And so we spent a lot of time on that lesson. We're talking about salvation and what God's plan was from the very beginning, that God had planned to create a family with sons and daughters who all resemble the image and likeness of the Son of God. And then the second lesson was, it starts with the new birth. So you have to be born again. You have to be born into God's family. The third lesson is, it's time to grow up. We can't remain spiritual infants the rest of our lives, so we need to grow spiritually. And then we started talking about the ways that God grows us up, the way that God shapes us into the image and likeness of Jesus. Last week we talked about how God shapes us through suffering. And today we're going to see how God shapes us through the Scriptures. So an old farmer had brought his family to the city for the very first time. They had never seen buildings so tall or so impressive. The farmer dropped his wife off at the department store and took his son with him to the bank, the tallest of all the buildings in the town. And as they walked into the lobby, they saw something else they had never seen before as well. There were two steel doors that opened up, and a rather elderly, heavy-set woman walked in, and then the doors closed, and then the needle above it went to the right and back to the left, and then it opened up, and out walked this beautiful blonde. And so the farmer looked over at his boy and said, "Son, stay right here. I'm going to go get your mama and run her through this thing." So we're looking at the various resources that God uses to transform our life. In the last chapter, we saw that God uses pain to shape us into the image of Jesus. In this chapter, we're going to observe how God uses the Scriptures to shape us into the image of Christ. As Paul writes in Romans 12:2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed through the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So Paul says, don't let the world shape the way you think or live. Rather, be transformed through the renewing of your mind. And so God wants to change the way we think. Why? Because we have warped thinking. That's the reason why. We are born into a sinful world. We grow up being lied to our entire lives. And these lies cause us to end up living a lie. And Paul says when that happens, we end up worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. And so our heads, our minds are filled with lies. I want to just talk about a couple of these. There's no way we could talk about all the lies that we've been told all our lives, right? We'd be here forever and a day. And so we've been lied to our entire lives. And so let me just point out three lies just real quick to show you what I'm talking about. Number one, we are told that abortion is health care instead of what it really is, murder. And so we throw millions of babies into garbage cans all over the world. It's tragic. It's tragedy what we do. Now, here's the sad thing. If you kick a dog or you mistreat an animal, you go to jail. Now, if that's not warped thinking, I don't know what to say. I mean, you can kick a dog, or you can, you know, hurt an animal and go to jail, but you kill a baby and that's okay? I mean, how warped do you have to be to think that murdering a baby is okay? Secondly, we're told today, and I say this because of what's being pushed into our faces every single day, that homosexuality is natural and normal, while it is not natural and normal. And all you have to do is just look at the human body. Men were created for women. Men were not created for men. Women were not created for women. And you don't need me to tell you that. Your body tells you that. Right? I mean, your body tells you that. You don't need me. You don't need some smart person somewhere to tell you that. You just need to listen to your body. Do they even teach anatomy or biology anymore? We're told that there is no God that created, we're told that there is no God and that the universe made itself. Now here's the thing, how could that possibly be true? How could the universe create itself? I believe it requires more faith to believe that the universe created itself than it does to believe that God created the universe. So here's the problem with this. When you believe that there's no God, when man denies the existence of God, he begins to spiral deep into sin. And that's what Romans chapter 1 verses 18 to 32 point out. You see, man without God is a beast. He knows no bounds or restraint when it comes to evil. We are in dire need of truth. Our values and our morals have all been corrupted because of all the lies that we've been told. And so God wants to transform our thinking, because we'll never live different until we think different. And so this is why doctrine is so important. It matters what you believe. Why? Because the way you think is the way you live. That's just reality. And so a transformed life necessitates a transformed mind. And the only place that you can go for spiritual and moral truth is the Word of God. John 17, 17, Psalm 119, verse 160. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 12, 2 again, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed through the renewing of your mind." Now the words in your Bible there, "be transformed," comes from the Greek word metamorpho. And we get our English word metamorphosis from this particular Greek word. So God wants to transform your life. God wants to cause your life to undergo a metamorphosis, if you will. That's what God wants to do in your life. We've all seen, you know, the caterpillar that turns into the butterfly. Well, God wants to do a similar metamorphosis in our life as He transforms us into the image and likeness of the Son of God. God wants to completely transform you. And so how does God accomplish this metamorphosis in our life? Well, one way is through the renewing of our mind. Now, keep in mind that there are many ways that God transforms our lives. Renewing our minds is simply just one of the resources that God uses. So how does God transform our mind? This renewing comes through true knowledge. And true knowledge comes through the Word of God. Now listen to what Paul writes in Colossians 3:10. This is really critical. Colossians 3:10. Listen to what Paul says. "And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. So we're to put on the new man who has a new knowledge, and that new knowledge is in the image of the one who created him, who is Jesus. And so renewal comes through a true knowledge of God's Word. D.L. Moody said, "The Scriptures were not written for our information, but for our transformation." And so if you saturate your mind with the Word of God, you will begin to think the thoughts of God. You will go from a warped mind to a renewed mind. Paul writes in Ephesians 4:23-24, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." So in practical terms, how do we do this? Well, here's how that happens. You read Scripture, you learn truth, you take that truth, you apply that truth to your life, you do that every single day, and day by day by day by day by day, God shapes your life in the image and likeness of the Son of God. Listen, just watching the news or reading the newspaper will not do this for you. You need truth. You see, there needs to be a steady stream of truth flowing into your mind. Being an occasional Bible reader won't get the job done. We need a steady source of truth to undo all of the lies of the liar. John 8, verse 44. The psalmist writes in Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Notice here what the blessed man does and does not do. Well, what doesn't he do? He doesn't allow the world to press him into its mold. He rejects the counsel of the ungodly. He does not allow, he refuses to sit in the seat of the scornful, if you will. But what does he do? Well, he delights, the text says, in the law of the Lord day and night. And look at the result. Look at the result of his life. His life is stable and fruitful and prosperous. But notice the steady stream of truth that is flowing through his mind. It's steady day and night. The text says he meditates on God's truth. This is necessary because we're confronted with a steady stream of lies daily. So the only way to overcome the onslaught, if you will, of all of the lies that we face every single day is to have a steady stream of truth flowing into our minds. And so, read the Bible every day and think about it. You don't have to read the Bible 24/7. That's not what the text is saying. When it says he meditates day and night, that doesn't mean he's in the Bible reading and studying 24 hours a day. All this means is we simply go to a text, we read it, and then we think about that text the rest of the day. We let that text go with us. Why? Because we're chewing on it. We're meditating on it. And as we're meditating on it, that word begins to transform our lives. That's the way it's supposed to work. And so you don't have to read it 24 hours a day, but you should read it every day and contemplate it the rest of the day. And it's so vital that we do this. most of us just read a few scriptures and then we close the Bible and we don't give it any more thought until the next time we open up the Bible. That type of Bible reading is not going to transform your life. That type of Bible reading is not going to cause your life to undergo radical change. And that's what God wants. I can't emphasize enough the importance of meditating and contemplating on what God is saying to you. God wants to change your thinking, and that requires time and it requires thought. And that's the whole idea of meditating. And so let me ask you, are you a daily Bible reader? Sadly, many Christians are not. Some believers don't realize how much we profit from consistent daily study of God's Word. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now, when Paul says all Scripture here, he means just that, all Scripture. He's talking about the Old Testament and the New Testament. And yes, even the book of Leviticus. There are many biblical texts that I could use to show the impact that Scripture has on our lives. But the one that immediately came to my mind as I was thinking about this, actually there were two, but the first one that came to my mind was Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is a literary masterpiece. And if you know Hebrew, you know what I'm talking about. Psalm 119 has 176 verses. It's divided into 22 sections. And each section has 8 verses each. And each of these 22 sections has a strange little title above it. Well, that little title is the Hebrew letter. It's one of the Hebrew letters. So you'll have Aleph and Beit and Gimel and Dalet and Hey and all the way through the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, what's amazing is when you read through Psalm 119, like when you're reading through the first 8 verses, it'd be up above that you have Aleph. And so every one of those verses, all 8 verses, begins with that letter, Aleph. And then the second section, Beit, every verse will begin with Beit. And all the way through the Hebrew alphabet, it's very unfortunate that the translators can't bring this through in translation. There's just no way to do that. But it truly is an incredible literary masterpiece when you look at it in the Hebrew language. And so I want to highlight just a few verses that show the benefit of Scripture on your life from Psalm 119 quickly. For example, verses 1 through 5 shows that God's Word establishes your walk. Nothing will help you stay on track with your walk with God more so than the Word of God. We get sidetracked so often. There are so many distractions in life. It is so easy to get off course. But it's the Word that keeps us on course. If you want to stay on track, you want your life to stay on track, you want to stay in sync with God, there's no better way to do that than the Word of God. God's Word will provide you the stability that you need to stay the course. In verses 9 through 11, he shows us that the Word purifies our life. David said in verse 11, "Your Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Nothing will help you live a pure life more so than the Word of God. Verse 29 says that God's Word will remove all falsehood from your life. That is what we've been talking about through this series, basically. It will point out all of the lies that are lodged in your head, and then you can dispose of them. You see, we need to do this. In verses 50 to 52 shows that God's Word comforts us when life is hard, when it's difficult. And all of us could use a little bit of comfort and encouragement when life gets hard. We all need that. Verse 66 says that God's Word teaches you knowledge and discernment. And we need that with all of the falsehood that we're faced with every single day. We need this. You see, the thing about God's Word is it creates this filter system in your mind, in your brain, in your head. And the more you read Scripture, it creates this filter system. And everything's got to go through the filter system. Everything that you hear has to go through there. And that's why when you hear, for example, maybe a televangelist that's not teaching something that's biblically sound, immediately you say, that's not right. That's wrong. That's error. How do you know that? Because you read this. That's how you know that. It's created that filter system. And error is not going to get through. But if you don't have this in your mind, then error is just going to slip through. You're going to be gullible. You're going to accept everything that comes your way. We need to be in the Word of God and let God's Word create this filter system that will expose all that is false and wrong. Verse 79 says that God's Word makes me resourceful. That is, it equips me and enables me to help other people. Isn't that cool? I mean, I read this book, and then I'm in a position where I can help my brothers and sisters in Christ. That is a great place to be. I mean, early on in ministry, when people come to you for help, a lot of times you don't have a lot of answers because you don't have a lot of experience, and you don't have a really good handle maybe on the Word. But as you grow, as you read, as you mature, you equip yourself to be able to help other people. And this is critical. No brother, no sister should ever be turned away simply because we don't know how to help them. If we're in the Word and we're reading the Word, we'll know how to guide them. We'll know how to help them. 128 of Psalm 119 says that God's Word helps you love truth and hate evil. And man, don't we need that? Don't we need that? Because that's not always the case. Sometimes we love evil. Well, this verse says it will cause us to hate evil and love truth. And that's what we need. Imagine how that would help you in your walk with the Lord, where every day you're being taught to love truth and to hate evil. That will help you in your walk with Jesus Christ. Well, I could go on and on and on with many other verses in Psalm 119, but these are just a few of the verses in Psalm 119 that shows the impact that Scripture has on our life. You see, God knows what we need. And God knows the transforming power of His Word in our life. And if we'll just get that Word in there, our lives will undergo change. Many of us are struggling spiritually because we simply fail to have a steady intake of Scripture into our lives. That's why we struggle. It's not the only reason we struggle, but it's a big reason why we struggle. If you're one who's struggling spiritually, you got to ask yourself, how much Scripture are you allowing into your life? If not very much, then it's pretty obvious what the problem is. If there's no metamorphosis taking place in your life, it may be due to a lack of truth that you're letting into your life. But there's an easy fix. open the Word of God, spend some time in God's truth, and let God transform your thinking and consequently your life, because that's what God wants to do. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, Paul encourages the Ephesian believers not to walk or live like the Gentiles, those people who do not know God. And Paul says they gave themselves over to all manner of evil. But then in verses 20 and 21, this is what Paul says. But you have not learned Christ, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and you have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. So Paul said, you were taught by Jesus not to live like that. Well, here's the question. How did Jesus teach them not to live like that? Well, Paul tells us they had been renewed in the spirit of their mind, according to Ephesians 4 and verse 23. They had been instructed through the Scriptures to live out the new life that they were given in Jesus Christ. And so Paul goes on then to give some concrete examples of what this means and how this works out in our lives. He says, for example, that we should no longer steal but work for a living. He says that we should no longer get angry and let the sun go down on our wrath. No longer allow that to happen. He says that we're not to use our mouths for profane things, but rather to speak life and grace into the lives of people. You see, allowing God's Word in changes us. This type of living comes from a renewed mind. And so let me close with a scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. One we know well. Paul says, but we all with unveiled faces, looking as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So what Paul is saying is, as we look at Scripture, we see the glory of God's Son and the Holy Spirit working through His Word transforms us into the image of Jesus. You see, the background to the Scripture Moses is given here, or that Paul's given here, is when Moses met with God up on Mount Sinai. And if you'll remember, when Moses met with God up on Mount Sinai for 40 days, when he came down from the mountain, his face shone with the glory of God, so much so that he had to put a veil over his face. What Paul is saying is, as we get into the Scriptures, behold the glory of the Lord, that same glory then begins to affect us. It begins to change us, and we are changed from, and we go from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so you are destined for glory. But I can't emphasize enough, brethren, the importance of Scripture, of reading the Bible, of making Bible study your daily habit. So many believers get away from it. They spend too much time on their phones, too much time watching television, too much time doing other things when we should be in God's Word. This is how God is going to transform your thinking. And your thinking is not going to be transformed by watching the news, reading the newspaper, watching your favorite sitcom or the Olympics or whatever it might be. We need to be in this book right here, beholding the glory of the Lord. And then that glory will eventually rub off on our lives, and that glory will be seen in our lives. And so today, if you're not a daily Bible reader, I hope this text will encourage you to be one, because one of the ways that God shapes you and shapes me is through this book right here. You will never, ever resemble the image and likeness of Jesus apart from this book. And so you've got to get in the book. Make Bible reading a daily habit. I plead with you to do that. And today, if you have any need whatsoever, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you've never received Him as your Lord and Savior, we're going to sing a song. And as we sing this song, we're going to invite you to come. We're going to invite you to come, and we'd like to talk to you about Jesus. We'd like to talk to you about why we believe He is the Savior of the world. If you have any other need in your life, maybe there's just something that's just really trying in your life, and it's really difficult, and you find life is really, really hard for you right now, won't you come and let us pray with you and let God get involved in your life and let God help you with whatever you're going through. But whatever your need is, make it known as we sing.